Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Tuesday, December 24th, 2019. A Sudanese religious leader praises the government's move to declare Christmas a public holiday again.
We are not Muslim, we are not Christians, we are not Arab, and we are not African, we are Sudanese. And within this Sudan, there are Muslims, there are Christians, and there are Africans, and there are Arabs.
And another cattle raid is reported, this time in Bor North County.
There was an attack by some Murle at Jale. So they took some cows from about six cattle shed, which we call Luak.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Sudan's transitional government has declared Christmas Day a public holiday for the first time in many years. Sudan's Religious Affairs and Endowments Minister says the decision is in line with the freedoms enshrined in the Constitution. Some Khartoum residents welcome that move. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
The Sudan government issued a circular on Sunday addressed to all public and private institutions, stating that Christmas will be a public holiday across the country. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus, Religion Affairs Minister Nasruddin Mufarrah says the announcement comes as a result of the recent political changes in Sudan. Speaking in Arabic, Mufarrah says the Sudanese transitional government is committed to guaranteeing all freedoms enshrined in the constitutional declaration signed in August. Last week, the U.S. State Department said it upgraded Sudan to a special watch list for religious freedom, citing significant step taken by the civilian-led transitional government to allow religious freedoms. Mufarrah welcomes the U.S. government's decision.
We, as the transitional government, we welcome the decision of the American government, and we really thank them for recognizing our efforts towards respecting freedom of worship in Sudan. They have now realized that we are a civilian government after the revolution of the great Sudanese people.
Before South Sudan seceded from Sudan, Christian civil servants and students, even in the capital Khartoum, used to get 3 days off from work at Christmas time. But when South Sudan declared its independence, Sudanese authorities said the country was 97% Muslim and impose restrictions on religious pluralism, including restricting Christmas celebrations. The Secretary General for the Sudan Council of Churches, Father William Deng, welcomes the move to declare Christmas as a public holiday. Deng says, for the past 9 years, since the time South Sudan seceded from Sudan, Sudanese officials abolished Christmas from the list of public holidays observed in the country. He says, providing more rights and freedoms in the Sudanese society will encourage citizens to participate in rebuilding what has been destroyed over the last 3 decades.
We are not Muslim, we are not Christians, we are not Arab, and we are not African, we are Sudanese. And within this Sudan, there are Muslims, there are Christians, and there are Africans, and there are Arab. But if we take one of these to be what we want Sudan to be, then we will not. But Sudan is a Sudan, and for the Sudanese people, and the Sudanese people are faithful to different religion.
Speaking in Arabic, Khartoum resident Iman Kamaluddin, who is from a Muslim family, welcomes the decision, adding the Sudanese transitional government is fulfilling some of the promises it made to the people.
There is a need for all groups to enjoy the freedom of worship. And what I'm seeing in this latest decision by our government to grant Christmas as a public holiday is something good, and it indicates that our government is respecting freedom of worship of all Sudanese religion.
Khartoum resident Clara Ismail, a member of the Sudan's Episcopal Church, says she is grateful to the government for declaring Christmas Day a public holiday. Speaking in Arabic, she says she is going to use the occasion to visit friends and neighbors, including Muslims.
This is something worth honoring, and we really thank the transitional government, and we wish them all the best for the peace process in Sudan. And people need to get stability. God is great, and He will bless every step.
The United States dropped Sudan from its list of nations that severely violate religious freedoms, signaling increased support for Sudan's newly created transitional government. For VOA News, I am Michael Atid in Khartoum.
Police commanders in Juba are warning its officers to exercise discipline as they carry out Christmas security measures this holiday season. A police spokesman says there will be no curfew in Juba over Christmas, but residents should cooperate with the police at all times to ensure a peaceful holiday. Demo Silva Aurelio has that story for VOA from Juba.
Juba resident Regina William, a mother of five, sells biscuits on Buabai Street. Buabai Street, commonly known as Low Clinic, is one of Juba's crowded neighborhood streets with heavy traffic that jams during the morning and evening hours when motorists and commuters are making their way to the office and back home. It is in this street, located west of Juba, off Kudele Road, that dozens of women set up their wooden tables displaying pretty festive biscuits and sweets during this Christmas festivity. These women wake up as early as 4 a.m. to visit a distant bakery to bake cakes and other items for sale, so they can put some money aside to send their children back to school come New Year. Speaking in Arabic, William says during this festive season, she would like to see that her children are safe.
I wish them good feast, but they should be careful as they celebrate this Christmas. And if you go out, keep yourself safe wherever you will be, either in the church or for any visit. I return home early so that next year we can have a similar peaceful celebration.
South Sudan Police spokesman Major General Daniel Justin Bola says Juba residents should not worry about their safety, but should remain vigilant and cooperate with police as they provide security during this festive season.
Of course, during the day there is no problem because the traffic will be there. Even at night, they will be there to make sure that the traffic is smooth. At the same time, sometimes, of course, there are some people who overspeed during the night, especially when the roads are not crowded. So these are also being handled by the traffic because all the roundabouts about in the town, there will be forces there to make sure that people are safe, and including those of traffic. So I'm not worried about that because our forces are all alert, and we have talked to them, and also we held the commanders to make sure. For example, if you are responsible of 7 days roundabout, there is an officer or two officers. Those officers that are to be responsible of any behavior which come out from one of their subordinates.
Bola says forces will be posted at night at busy locations. He says feasting residents are free to move at any time. There will be limited police checkpoints at night, and commuters should cooperate with the officers for armament checks.
The cooperation will be in terms of reporting any unusual situation, especially something related to crime, is to be reported. Again, also, we have the issue of Toronto. These are some motor riders. They used to snap bags from ladies or from even male people. And this, we are doing our best to crack it down, but still we are to advise the people to be very careful.
Bola says police emergency numbers of 112 and 777 will be active to respond to any call for alerts. He says any shooting of guns during the Christmas celebration is prohibited. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
The Catholic bishops in South Sudan have condemned the words of some clergy and congregants who are rejecting the newly appointed bishop to Juba by Pope Francis. Bishop Hiboro, the bishop of the Tambura Diocese and head of the South Sudan and Sudan Catholic Bishops, is urging all Catholics to join in celebrating the recent appointment of Bishop Stephen Amayu. Winnie Serino has more for VOA from Juba.
Bishop Eduardo Hiboro says the Catholic bishops held an extraordinary meeting on Thursday because of the serious reactions from some congregations and church leaders in the Archdiocese of Juba regarding the appointment of the new bishop. He says the Catholic Church is ashamed at how some of its members reacted to the matter.
We regret with great humility the inappropriate language used in their two letters against the Holy Father, against the Holy See, institutions and personality, etc. Those issues raised can be handled within the competency of the Catholic Church. Nobody should interfere from outside and take advantage on the matter to confuse this institution and others. We ask our faithful Christians to remain calm and avoid relying on rumors. We appeal to the clergy and the religious all over the Archdiocese of Juba to remain united.
Bishop Hiboro says it is only through unity that the church can remain firm and peaceful. He acknowledges that some priests during recent Sunday services did not mention the names of the newly appointed bishop during the consecration process of the blood and body of Jesus, as Catholics usually do, maybe because they were confused as to who to mention. Bishop Hiboro says the Pope has appointed Bishop Ameyu, and that decision cannot and will not be reversed.
So in the Eucharistic prayer, it's the name of the new archbishop mentioned. There is no turning around about that. The new archbishop already is put in place. If it was delayed, then you will have a bit of silence. But it is already given. So the only thing that we would encourage the archdiocese, that following the tradition of the Catholic Church, as we stand now, the archbishop or the archdiocese of Juba is Stephen.
Bishop says the appointment of Bishop Ameyu was not a mistake because it often takes years to appoint a bishop. He says when names are recommended to the Vatican for bishops, secret investigations are done until a final person succeeds, which the Pope then announces. Bishop did not mention whether the clergy who signed the document would be suspended, but says the church will take up certain actions going forward.
And the action is we are taking the prayer. We are a church people. We don't have a prison. We don't have where we lock our people. We pray for conversion of heart. We pray for goodness. We pray for renewal. We pray for starting again. So that means what has happened, we open a new page. We have to see that, yes, this has happened. So, but are we going to remain there, let it block us from growth? No. We will try that we can improve on what has happened.
Last week, some Catholics condemned the rejection letter by the so-called indigenous clergy and faithful who had urged Catholic leaders to stop tribalizing and politicking the Catholic Church. For VOA News, I am Winnie Sereno in Juba.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. There's a critical need for more eye doctors in South Sudan. Find out what's being done about it when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today...
Do you believe in fate?
Yes, I do believe in fate. I do believe that once you have been given a particular purpose, fate will definitely make you get into it, whether you turn to the negative or the positive direction. Eventually, you get to achieve what has been planned for you.
Sometimes I do, because there are sometimes opportunities that comes unexpectedly, but sometimes I don't believe in it because everything is possible.
I don't believe in faith because I think once in life, no matter the family or your background, things can change. Your life had not been arranged in a certain way that you had to, no matter what, follow that change.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
Time for our Tuesday health segment, and today we are talking about the lack of eye surgeons in South Sudan. The head of the Bullock Eye Center has raised concerns over the lack of eye specialists across the country, saying there are only 6 eye doctors, and that's not enough to treat all South Sudanese patients with eye diseases, cataracts, and trachoma. Winnie Sereno has this report for VOA from Juba.
Dr. Joseph Mandi, medical director of the Bullock Eye Center, says eye diseases are common in South Sudan, especially in Upper Nile, Tali, and former Eastern Equatoria State, where there is a scarcity of clean water. He says cataracts mainly affect the elderly, while trachoma affects all age groups because it is an infectious disease spread by a bacterium called Chlamydia trachomatis. Manda says the center operates only 50 eye patients twice a week because of a critical lack of resources and eye surgeons.
Because the backlog for cataract in South Sudan is huge, and the main cause of blindness now in the third world or in South Sudan is cataract. Imagine the population of more than 11 million. This is the only eye hospital, and some patients all over the country cannot reach to Bolo. So, as currently we're speaking, there's a team that we sent to Rockham County who's doing free surgeries there.
Dr. Mande says there was an eye center at Juba Teaching Hospital that used to train eye surgeons, but the institution was destroyed in 2015, leaving eye doctors with no place to practice.
But the building was demolished and the training is stopped. This is the sixth we have now, and imagine there were above 30, and we are supposed to have in all the 32 states a cataract surgeon and ophthalmologist. Imagine the six is only in Bolo. For example, now two went to Rokon, now they went four.
Mande says medical professionals are trying to establish more eye care centers so that there is at least one eye specialist in every state. 35-year-old Wahiba Jabit, whose mother's eyes was operated on a few days ago, says many people cannot get in to see an eye specialist on the restricted number of days set aside for eye appointments. She says she is grateful her mother was sane.
Their services is very good, and then the price is cheap. They are good, they are doing good things for the people. So now I'm here to encourage people outside there, don't be afraid. You come and check your eyes, and then you will be good.
47-year-old Akei Garang, who underwent eye surgery early this week and came back for a checkup on Wednesday, says he lost his sight when he was 17 years old during one of the Sudan wars. He says heavy dust entered his eyes when their area was bombed. Speaking in Arabic, Garang says he is now able to see.
The operation now shows a white place. It's only someone's eyes that I can't see. But if a person comes closer, I can see his or her clothes. Red or white, I can see.
South Sudan's current health budget represents 1% of the fiscal year. Jemani Nkumba, the Minister for Gender and Social Welfare, vowed to lobby lawmakers to increase the health budget to 5% by 2020. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Six people, including a woman and child, were wounded when armed men suspected of being from neighboring Boma State attacked Jungle State's Bor North County on Sunday. Jungle State's information minister says attacks by men from Boma State are becoming more and more frequent and could derail the peace between those two states. From Juba, Manyang David Mayar has the details for VOA.
Jonglei State Information Minister Atongkwal Manyang says the attackers targeted a cattle camp in Jale village.
There was an attack by some Murle at Jale. So they took some cows from about six cattle shed, which we call Luak. Luak is where they keep the cows. They injured about six people, of which two of them were women and four men. After that, what happened? The youth ran after them. They managed to rescue the cattle that was taken.
Qual says this marks the fourth attack in recent weeks carried out by what she calls criminal from Boma State. Several attempts to reach Boma State authorities by phone for comment went unanswered. Boma State Deputy Governor John Joseph Obula also did not answer repeated calls to comment on the story. Officials from Jonglei and Boma State signed a 2018 peace deal aimed at ending cattle raids and child abductions, two practices that have persisted in the greater Jonglei region for years. Qual says recent attacks threaten that peace deal.
Those criminals are still doing the same activity, and many citizens like you have been wondering if really there is peace, if these attacks are still continuous. If people are still dying, if there is no change, Then how do we say that peace is there?
Kwal says while Buma state officials are unable to prevent the youth from carrying out cattle raids attacks in neighboring states, the Jonglei state government has no capacity to provide security to citizens all across the state.
We are not doing a lot to protect the citizens, especially in the counties. Like, these attacks were carried out in those areas. And I believe the reason is, again, the kind of soldiers we have, the people who can easily run to rescue these people. We have very few, let's say, policemen and even those in uniform who are able to protect the citizens. And they're only based in probably border towns, and they're not even enough to go beyond border towns.
Kwal says the country's economic crisis that began in 2013 has made it difficult for state officials to recruit and pay enough police officers to make Jonglei secure. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayar in Juba.
The commissioner of Jebel Boma County in Boma State, Longoni Alston, is calling on non-governmental organizations to rescue thousands of families who are on the verge of starvation. Alston says some families are surviving on leaves alone, while others are killing wild animals in Boma National Park for food. The commissioner says if aid agencies continue to ignore their calls for help, the situation will only worsen. My colleague John Tanza, who talked to Alston, witnessed families surviving on leaves during a recent visit to Boma last week.
We have been isolated. Though when there are challenges, I use radio call to write messages as before. We have no network.
You use the long-range VHF radio?
Yes, we have radio long-range. This is what we are using now, and the satellite phone. Sometimes there is a challenge. I don't have unit to report to my state headquarters. When there's no unit, unless I use the radio range.
I mean, by units you mean airtime, when you don't have airtime on your thruya?
Yeah, when I have no airtime, I can use the radio.
I see you sitting very quiet and smiling. What motivates you?
What motivated me, it is just to deliver the services to my community, telling them about how government wanted them to be, informing them about the issue of hunger. They must to go and farm, make farm among themselves, not to wait WFP to provide them food. They have to make their own food by themselves.
And how are people responding to that call for them to be self-sustainable? How are people responding to that?
In fact, they are responding positively, but due to the insecurity issue sometimes, it leads people to lose hope, not making agriculture. But when there is a peace for now, I think this year they will make their own food.
Talk about the issue of food. When we were going to the market today, I've not seen a lot of varieties. What is going on here?
Well, actually, we are in remote area now. You know, our food commodities are normally being brought from the site of Kapoita. And you know there is a heavy rain this year, of which there is no accessibility of the road. That is why you are seeing shops are no goods anymore, because they have got finished.
And what is going to happen? There's no food in the stores. There's nothing there. What is going to happen? How will people survive?
That will be a very critical, so I don't know. Unless the other time I raised this issue to the state, so that the humanitarian has to really intervene about the hunger for Jebel Buma County, since the roads have become closed and there is no any food items again in the shops. So I raise it, but I'm still going to wait. What is their response? There's no response.
And if you are to speak to humanitarian aid agencies today, how many people are at risk of starvation here? Because this is a serious situation. I've seen it with my own eyes. How many people are at risk of starvation?
You know, the whole of Jebel Buma County, all of them, they are 58,000. All these 58,000 are suffering, you know. In fact, some of the people went to Ethiopia during 2013 clashes, and some of them now came. So those who are now present in Jebel Buma County, in various places, they are facing this hunger.
That is Longani Alston, commissioner of Jebel Buma County, speaking with John Tanza last week in Boma. It's Christmas time, so of course Christmas shopping is in order. It's also a time to travel, to be around loved ones, and prepare special meals to complement the day. But Zimbabwe's depressed economy is keeping many citizens from fully taking part in this year's festivities. Reporter Kudzai Svinavashi has more from Harare.
Tongai Makawa is the project manager and co-founder of a youth organization called Magamba Network. He says this year's festive season does not promise much.
The prospects are low because of where we're coming from. We're not coming from a situation of normalcy. We're coming from a situation of no power, rampant water shortages, no medicine in hospitals, no doctors. So you find that even to celebrate, it becomes quite problematic in that just normalcy is non-existent.
Munyaradzi Dodo is the editor of Open Pali, an online publication that covers parliament business and political developments in the country. He blames the government, especially Finance Minister Mthuli Ncube and the ruling party, for failing to revive the economy.
I think it's going to be a very gloomy festive season. People have no money, people can't travel. Kind of feels like the Grinch really did steal Christmas this year. I don't know who the Grinch this year is, but it could very well be Mthuli's 2% tax, or Mthuli himself, or ZANU-PF, or the policies that the government has been implementing.
The festive season is also a time to reflect on the closing year. This year has been characterized by a new 2% transaction tax and an economic decline, which have eroded the people's buying power as salaries remained stagnant. The economic woes are worsened by electricity cuts, shortages of fuel and cash, and rocketing inflation. Given the problems, family man Blessing Wungwe says there is not much to celebrate.
To be honest, there is no festive season coming up. We are just all gliding through the days because there's nothing to celebrate. Life is just unbearable. There is no festive season.
Christmas across the globe presents an opportunity for travel, time off work, and being with loved ones. In Zimbabwe's past, that was the case, but this year, people will have subdued holidays. And then, for many families, January brings fresh demands for school fees and school supplies. For VOA, this is Kudzai Zinawashi from Harare.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We leave you with the song Dunia Day by Isaka.
Isaka number one. Big kuna leta kon an mashakil ta dunia mashakil ketira sabi lakin mata kafo bukura bikun yom taki
dunia de mama mashakil to keti ajati geru kuruyo ina biya monushulu ya mina fogo zede dunia de mama mashakil to
listening to Isaka number one with the song Dunia Day. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. Happy holidays, everyone. We hope you can join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
bi fekiri kete nina bi akulu kefi nina bi libi sushuno nina bi dawuru